Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton today.
Hello.
Extra hour. And Steve's filling in for John.
Hello, hello.
Steve is meeting with our sponsors today. I want to give a big shout out to all of our sponsors that are out there. We thank you for standing with us and all of our partners. If you want to join our sponsors and stand for God and country in that order in Israel, let us know. Go to VFNTV.com and call us or contact us there. We're going to be talking about, finishing our conversation about some gatherings do more damage than good. Some church meetings do more damage than good. Unquote, said Paul, and he's breaking it down, and we're talking about, you know, what does that really mean to be able to have a gathering that could do more damage than good, and it is definitely making sense, isn't it?
Definitely.
Totally making sense, because our biggest test of our love for God is when we actually are with a fellow brother or sister in the Lord. Also, we're going to be talking about, you know, will Israel act alone in regards to the Iranian nuclear threat? Iran has a ministry. You know, like we have Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Education. They have a Secretary of, but it's called a ministry of radical Islam to promote it anywhere in the world. And it's like, hello? I mean, we pulled, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, any regards to this ministry of radical Islam out of Iran, out of our FBI library, CIA library, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann. And we have former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's right-hand assistant, a leader and mother, a leader reportedly in the Muslim Brotherhood, high up leadership in the context of that. And her husband was running for mayor of New York. And it didn't work out too well, but immediately another man's running now for the mayor of New York, who taught his history is and according to the New York Times, reports that his some of his fondest memories is when he was involved with a communist part of his life.
Wow.
And it's like, this is what's happening. You're looking at America being fundamentally transformed, and some are hoping, pushing hard, into a socialism form of government, into socialism. And socialism always pretty much ends up into communism. But the biggest thing that happens is God gets pulled out of the picture. Because men are going to begin to create what they call the utopia that does not end up well. Well, we're going to be hearing from CBN News. They're interviewing, talking about what's taking place in Israel right now. You know, that they're going to have to respond, because it's not just Israel's worst nightmare. It's everybody in the West, because he's going to mention the fact that that Greece, you have Greece, you have Cyprus right outside of Israel. You know, so if Israel gets taken out, then you got Cyprus, and they'll mull right over Cyprus, and they go right into Greece, and it's like the West. I mean, that 300 and something million Muslims pushing radical Islam, running over Israel, a democracy, and just barreling its way over I can't think of this particular nation. I just said its name, but then on into Greece.
Cyprus,
which is just, you know, Paul landed on Cyprus and talked about it in Greek. And it goes right into Greece.
Right.
And it's like, this is a threat to the world.
Right.
Nuclear power in the hands of Iran is a threat to the world. And if they get it, and they say they're moments away from getting it now. And it's like, here we are at this one moment. We have pumped, promoted the ministry of radical Islam out of Iran. We have the chief advisor for the president is Valerie Jarrett, who was born in Iran. The chief advisor for the Secretary of State was the daughter of big-time leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood. We've empowered the Muslim Brotherhood, and still today, in our in our narrative, are talking like Morsi was a sane option, why Egypt is writing us off for what we have done, because they don't love They don't like the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's like, what are we doing? The whole world's being turned over. So we'll be talking about that in a moment. But first, I want to finish up our conversation about where Paul's saying, listen, some of you said you're doing more damage than good. You're doing more damage than good when you come together. In 1 Corinthians 11:17, he says, he's going to give a directive. He says, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. And today, people think the answer is just have more meetings. Sometimes it's just go home and repent, and everybody get your act together, spend time with God, fast and pray. And then if we heard from God, let's come back together again and get rightly related to God and to each other. And so the biggest test of our faith is, do we love each other? Do we love our brother? Do we love our sister? Not do we love somebody who calls themselves a brother, not a Herodian or something like that, but somebody who is the body, who made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, weak or strong, that we're thinking about them continually, that when we make statements, when we do the things that we do in our lives and in our gatherings, are we taking the full body of Christ? Because he says, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me.
Right.
And so in the last days, this is what I was just talking about, in the last days, the gatherings, many gatherings, are going to be very damaging. I mean, they're going to increase in the last days, very damaging gatherings, very harmful. So you're going to need to pay attention. You need to gather where Jesus gathers. You need to gather in a place where somebody doesn't say, you know, they've been going here 6 months and they don't even know that this is the church.
Right.
They didn't know this is a church. In a positive way.
Right.
2 Timothy, Paul's writing to 2 Timothy here, and I was just talking about there, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. He says, mark my word. Mark this. He says, there will be terrible times in the last days. So these are the last days. This is what the last days will be like. So you can imagine what gatherings of coming together, the people who don't know Jesus, what it's going to be like, or people that are following the way of the world instead of following Jesus. This is how people will be in the last days. Which could be pretty close to the last days.
Yeah.
People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, I really would like to come to the gathering today, but I got a ski trip I'm going on. And the ball game's on today, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then he says this, have nothing to do with them. What does that mean? That means if that's what's happening at the place that you gather, that is being called a church, realize that we are the body of Christ, we are the church, we're the building God, God's Spirit dwells inside of you. But where you do gather together, Jesus is in your midst, if in fact you're gathering with the church, not at a building called the church, but if you're gathering with the church. And that's why it's so important how you're treating everybody, because you're treating Jesus that way, as we're talking about. But he says, have nothing to do with them. So don't be all, I mean, nobody's going to pull you harder than a narcissistic, selfish, self-focused, idolatrous, ungrateful, I'm reading through the list, conceited, you know, gathering of people and make you feel terrible, the fact that you're just trying to find Jesus, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to find Jesus here. You know, George Barner reports that people are leaving gatherings like that just trying to keep their relationship with God. Trying to keep their relationship with God. They're not leaving the church. They are the church. They're just trying to find somebody else that loves God.
Right.
The direction that it was going. That's not every. I'm just talking about some. I'm not talking about all. But if you're really offended, it's probably, yep, that's exactly right. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 2, he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. And he's talking to Timothy, so he gives a charge. And this is the charge, and this is where you should be gathering at, under men and women of God who take this charge to heart. And in the fear of the Lord, this is the charge they take. Preach the word of God. Not some book you read somewhere. Preach the word of God. If 97% of the professing church in America are not even reading the Bible to make any decisions on it in their life, and 18 and 81% are not even picking it up. Brother?
That's a clue.
That's a clue. Preach from the Word of God. Give them a reason to pick it up. How about you picking it up and preaching from it? Preach the Word of God. Then he says, be prepared in season and out of season. What does that mean? It means abide. Mm-hmm. It means abide. That's how, the only way you can be prepared is spend time with God, just like Jesus spent time with God. Spend time with the Lord every day, abiding with the Lord, so you can be ready in season and out of season. Then he says, correct, rebuke, and encourage. You have to understand, if you had a man or woman of God that was over that gathering, and they saw that stuff going on, I mean, they'd be all over it like white on rice. Mm-hmm. Who do you think you are? Get out of that seat. You know, that'll happen here. And you quit eating that stuff. And that, what you doing getting drunk? I mean, they're going to deal with stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you can feel comfortable that what's going on with a leader like that, that you can pray for that leader because God's going to reveal that to that particular leader. Mm-hmm. But understand that they're going to deal with something. And Paul's going, he's charging. This is my charge to you in the name of God, and the one that's going to judge us. Let me understand. Let me just review this one more time. Now you understand where I'm coming from and what Paul is writing here in 2 Timothy 4:1-3. He says, in the presence of God. I mean, he's writing this thing. He's letting it rip, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the presence of God and of Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing. In other words, he's coming back soon, brother. And his kingdom. I give you this charge, Timothy. Preach the word of God. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, and with great patience and careful instruction. In other words, do it in love.
Mm-hmm.
But do it.
Mm.
Do it.
Right.
I mean, it's so important. And you'd have a relationship, because if you come in trying to correct, rebuke, and all this kind of stuff, and that nobody knows who you are because you live this divided, cliquish life away from the very ones that God's called you to lead. The enemy's filling in their head all kinds of stuff about you.
Right.
They're thinking that you were this perfect person and all this kind of stuff's going on, and anything that comes out correcting, they're going to take it as they're like, oh, I'm terrible now. It's bad now. I wish I could be like him or been like her. But if you walk with them in humility, that they understand that this is God.
Mm.
If you teach them to abide with God, all they're saying is amen in their spirit.
Right.
And then in 2 Timothy 4:3, he says, for a time is coming. And think about this. He's talking about it. I'm talking about gatherings here. For a time is coming. For a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine, like I'm talking about. They just want to put up with it. I don't even want to hear it. You're crazy. You're crazy. I don't even want to hear it. Instead, to suit their own desires, which, by the way, gets the thing that gets enticed in our sin nature, to suit their own desire, they will gather around them hirelings. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And if you're in an itching ear gathering, you better run for your life. Because every time you walk out of that place and your ears don't itch, you think about it. Mm. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And turn aside to myths. I got so much more. I'll talk to you more with this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. And we want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody. Yeah, and as a pastor, or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, "Hey, we'll wait and see." George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. But, and he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this, do this, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's a multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about sometimes going to church can do more harm than good. Sometimes going to your gatherings can do more harm than good. And we're talking about last day gatherings, what takes place there, and how people will gather people around them. And all they want is people that agree with what their itching ears want to hear, what their own desires want to hear. So to go to a church gathering where the preaching or the pastor says every word just right as to itch every ear of the ones who gathered him or her around them, as they carefully explain to them when they hired them what their expectations would be for them to do. And as the woman or the man with a crossed arm in the back of the room demands, will do more harm to you than good. It's not about just going to church. It's about being the church. It's not about just going to a meeting. You're going to go meet with Jesus. Begin to understand this is exciting. You're going to spend eternity in what you're walking out now here on earth. You want to go to a gathering? You want to pack up and say, you know, I want to go to a gathering where truly it is somebody has this charge over their life. And I'm going to put my family under that man or woman of God, and that's where I'm going to be. And I'm going to believe God to talk to me and care for me and speak to me and correct me and encourage me. Go to a place where they're loving God. And loving God means obeying God, loving each other, having sound doctrine and teachings that are teaching the word of God, that's bringing correction. Yes, that will even rebuke at times of rebuke. Who will let your ears itch? Who will let your ears itch? They fall off your head. Mm-hmm. Who preach the word of God so strong, your spirit jumps, your soul repents, and your flesh dies, and your heart is at peace. Here's your to-do list. Wake up. Get saved. If you're not, begin to abide with God. Go to iabide.org. Begin to see, does your gatherings do more damage than good? And look for a gathering that loves God, loves others, and lead others to do the same. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow the Lord and show up expecting to do everything you expect others to do for you, and function in that part. Yes, Paul said, your meetings do more damage than good. And I'm looking at, you know, Matthew chapter 11. He's talking here about cities. He's talking about cities. Jesus says, then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles have been performed because they did not repent. You think about it, that what's, you know, what, some of the things we're talking about in the first hour, and also I believe first part of this extra hour is, you know, people are being presented the gospel, and they say, well, you know, I love this Jesus. Yes, I want to be saved. But nobody teaches them about repentance. Nobody teaches them the word of God, because repentance is leaving our life of sin, learning the new way of living and walking in it, the commands of Jesus. And so how can I repent if I don't even know, you know, how can I know that I'm speeding if you hadn't taught me that there's speed limit signs and put signs up?
Mm-hmm.
How can I know I'm sinning if you have not taught me the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't know that I'm sinning, how can I tell you that I've repented? You know, so I really believe that the fullness. And so Jesus is talking here. He was not rebuking these cities because, you know, they didn't not talk about Jesus, and that miracles and ministry didn't happen there. It happened there. But he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that have been performed in you have been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon than for you on the day of judgment. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, which is Sodom and Gomorrah, it would have remained to this particular day. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on that day than for you. And, wow. And so much today, everybody talks about, you know, that's like Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's going, listen, my expectations are higher for you than Sodom. Because if they would have had what you had today, with the blessing that you're living in today, and the provision and the miracles and all the things that have happened in your generation, they would not have served the devil.
That's right.
They would have served God. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so here are these guys. They're not Sodom and Gomorrah. They're somebody who didn't respond to God and repent. Didn't repent. That was what it was. And it's like, bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. The axe is already laid at the root. And repentance means that we're going to have a life that has fruit in it. We're going to have a life that has fruit in it. And when you think about that, you start thinking about, well, then if we're being religious, but we're not repenting, and all this ministry is going on in the context of it, then we could say we're sort of like fruitless wonders.
Mm.
You know, fruitless wonders. And Jesus said in Matthew 21:43, he said, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. That's just like wrecks. Yeah. A lot of doctrine out there that's being taught. This is the word. That's why we're going back to the words of Jesus. We want to find out what's going on. And John says in Matthew 3:8, he says, listen, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Well, my goodness, if I haven't repented, then I'm not going to have the fruit of repentance. Mm. And he says, produce fruit. He says, listen, in verse 10 of that same chapter, he says, an axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So it wasn't the fact that you're not a tree. Yeah, you're a tree, but you got to, being a good tree means you actually produce.
That's right.
And so we can be a lot of ministry, a lot of things can be happening. People can be getting healed and just, you know, religious things going on and not necessarily wrong things. I mean, but Jesus was obviously delivering the perfect gospel. I mean, he is the perfect gospel, but yet they responded to it in a religious way. You know, Romans 11:17-23, we find out actually the verse 21, he lets us know, he says, don't be arrogant, because if he didn't spare the natural branches, he won't spare you either. And he goes on to verse 22, the latter part, he says, you can be cut off.
Mm.
You can be cut off. And he says very specifically that there's something, if we truly are walking with God, if we are like Tyre or Sidon, Sidon, or if we're like Capernaum and we're hearing this right gospel to us, presented to us, we have a responsibility to repent, to hear what Jesus is saying to us and say, yes, I want to make him the Lord of my life and make him the Lord of my life and learn his ways and begin to follow in him. And the thing about this too, Jesus says very specifically in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If
a man remains or abides in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. See? This fruit is important. We could be fruitless wonders.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but apart from me, you're a fruitless wonder. But apart from me, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
So over and over again, we just hear it's being reiterated, and we discover that Jesus is expecting from us what we can't even do ourselves outside of a personal relationship with him. We have to be fruitful, but we can only be fruitful if we abide with him, if we remain in him. And we talk about that at iabide.org. That's why we talk about abiding, because you're not going to be able to do what we're talking about and what Jesus is talking about unless Jesus empowers you to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really confusing. Fruitless wonders can be really confusing. But this is, here's, I think, I Was Wrong. What was Jim Baker wrote the book, I Was Wrong, and he dealt with lots of fruitless wonders. They come in one after the other. They preached good messages. They prophesied, sang good songs. People were healed, and these gifts were working. And he would sit and have dinner with them and eat with them, and they were totally bad fruit. And there were things that come out of their mouth. It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and so he just thought, well, I guess it doesn't matter. And he began to measure them by their gifts instead of by their fruit.
Right.
And this is so, so very important because, you know, the question is, fruit is not our gifts. We got to understand that. We got to understand that fruit is not our gifts. In Romans 11:29, we find out that God's gifts and his calls are given without repentance or
totally without repentance. We'll be right back. I want to thank our sponsors who are sponsoring us on VFN Radio, VFN TV, Cordova Lane's the $50 Eye Guy. Thank Mark Tegenkamp for standing with us there. He's in Pensacola area off Davis Highway. Also, I want to thank the Coffee House is on Navy Boulevard and all of our sponsors that are with us. Just Fishing Grits. Just Fishing Grits. If you hadn't got a chance to go by there, that's also in the Pensacola area off of Pace Boulevard at the Town and Country Plaza there. Go and have some fish and grits in there and say that we said hello out there. Go by and see Joyce as well with Blue Angel Hot Tubs and Pools. Hot Tubs and Pools in Pensacola, Florida. You can find out more at VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this out of this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. These gifts are given without repentance.
They're irrevocable. But also we find out when Jesus tells us in Matthew 22:14 that for many are called or invited, but few are chosen. So just because you got a call, just because you got a gift, don't mean you're chosen. It's actually when you make that choice to be able to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you see what's happening in the context of fruitless wonders, is it matters who they are when they're alone. It matters who they are because, you know, we've seen a lot of things where you have on the public scene where they're professing these different things, but behind the scenes they're just beating the heck out of you with their with their things and their stuff. And it's just like, really? You know, and you think, what meanest thou this? And the truth is, it's like you're known by your fruit. And Matthew 7:15-23 lets us know, and Jesus says it in verse 19, he says, every tree that does not bear good fruit, and that's every, by the way, every tree, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. You think about that. And so if we get this gift thing mixed up and call thing mixed up with fruit, you know, we'll be like the people that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7:21. He says, as he's beginning to talk, he says, not everyone. Think about that, right off the front. Not everyone. And you just want it, you just really want, you know what I'm saying? It's like, look how religious we are. I'm sure everyone knows Jesus here. We're all in the house of the Lord today, right? I mean, you just want to say that, right? But the truth is, Jesus said in the red letters, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not only do they actually hang around Jesus, but they even call him Lord, Lord, you know? And he says, only he who does the will of my Father. You see, fruit has to do with obedience that can only come out of the empowerment that you get from your actually truly knowing and hanging out with Jesus. We'll talk more about that. And he says, this is the only ones that's really going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he says right here, he says, who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, and many will say to me on that day, and he's talking about the day when it's all over, the choice is already been made, and they'll say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? And I'm like, you know, if I hear one more prophetic word by somebody that treats you like junk, you know, when it's over with, it's like, it's important if they treated you like junk, but they gave a word, even if it was accurate, take the word for being accurate, but don't take their relationship with God.
That's right.
Of being accurate. Because you know them by the fruit. He says,
separate the gift from the character.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's like, no, sit back down. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons. What does that mean? People are demon-possessed, and you come against the satanic realm, Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle against, and the authority in Jesus' name, and you tell the devil to go, and because there's power in Jesus' name, the devil goes. Like you keep there's power in the name of Jesus, and then there, when you go and speak to the spiritual realm that Ephesians 6:12 talks about, and you bind them in the name of Jesus, and you drive the devil out, and in that context of that, he goes out. It's because there's power in the name of Jesus, and in that, the devil goes. And then he says, and performs many miracles. I mean, these are miracles where all of a sudden, you know, they prayed for rain in the name of Jesus and rain came down, or they laid hands on the sick and the sick recovered, and these different things. He says, but then Jesus said, this is what Jesus is saying, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. See, you get to know Jesus when you abide with him. That's what we're always talking about, iabide.org. We don't want you confused with the fact of thinking because you got a gift and you got a call that you're not going to be here at this encounter that Jesus is talking about right here. Because you don't want to be preaching a kingdom to others that you yourself are not going to enter in. That's what they're saying. That's what he's saying. And then he says, away from me, you evildoer. See, these men and women became religious, but they didn't become relational. Either they never made Jesus the Lord of their life, or at some point they left their relationship with Jesus and just stayed religious. They identified themselves by what they do. We call that hoodoo.
Mm-hmm.
By their gift. It doesn't mean their gift was not accurate. It just means you're not what you do. You are who you are in with Jesus in your abiding relationship with him. And understanding that they never abided or stopped abiding with God. Sort of like Saul and David. You know, David sought the Lord. Saul didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them had the same prophetic word over them. But there was a day that God said, I regretted the day that I ever made Saul king. What did David do? He inquired of the Lord. So what is good fruit? I mean, what is good fruit? We're specifically told what good fruit is in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean, that think about that. That alone. Because God is love. Mm-hmm. If there's no love there, if there's no love there, there's no God there. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And it's like, why do you bite me every time I'm around you? What's got a hold of you? It ain't God, because I ain't, you're feeling the love. You know what I'm talking about? You're feeling the love. And you think about all those religious folks that was around Jesus, God, Emmanuel, were being very religious around God, love. Himself. They're being religious around him, but they didn't know God. They even called God Satan. They called Jesus Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a possible paradigm that can happen. But he says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But just think about love. You think about how important that is, because if we don't have love, we don't have God.
That's right.
You know, you don't, and it's like the love of the body, you know, the love of the church, love of many, excuse me, the love of many will grow cold in the last days because of great lawlessness that's in the land. And so when we're thinking about love, that if and what they did, what, you know, Jim Baker did, he saw these ministry take place, these gifts take place, and he sat with them around the table. And there was no love. There was no love. And sad to say, that happens quite a bit in the body. It happens quite a bit where Paul says, I've warned you day and night that wolves are coming come into your number, even come from among your number.
And, for 3 years, right?
Yeah, with tears. Never stop warning. And gifts are just so mesmerizing. It's always been an issue in the church where people begin to worship gifts instead of worship God. But so love is so important that without it, our gifts are worthless and meaningless if we don't have love. And you think about love. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13 when he says, actually, verse 31 of 12, he starts, but eagerly desire the greatest gifts.
Mm.
And then he says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some encounters like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Gong. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, John, I mean, talking about moving mountains. But have not love, I am nothing. This just puts a fear of God in a lot of us, because it's easy to kick in to be religious, but when people are around you, it's raunchous. You know what I'm saying? And you can only be moving in love through the empowerment we're going to talk about of spending time with love himself. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. What is he saying? You can be as religious as you want to, but if you don't have love, it's totally meaningless. Even if people get saved by the kingdom message, it doesn't mean that person who's delivering it is going to enter in.
Mm.
Does it not?
That's right.
That's right.
And so love is produced, because remember he says, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Love is produced in our lives when we abide with love himself, Jesus. we're not going to be able, it's contagious. You spend time with love, Jesus. We abide with him, right? I mean, he says very specifically, and synonymous with love, it's obedience. It's obedience in love, loving obedience. Because he tells us in John 14, 15, Jesus plainly says, if you love me, if you really love me, right? Mm-hmm. If you love me, you will obey me. In verse 21, he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them. Remember, if I've never seen a speed limit sign, if I'm part of the 82% that don't even read the Bible, if I don't even know what sin is, right? Mm-hmm. He says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Obedience and love, synonymous. Verse 23 through 24, if anyone, there it goes again, anyone, all of them puppies, right? If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching.
Wow.
Think about how many fruitless wonders today that you bump into, and it's like, you're shutting me down when we're talking about the teachings of Jesus, but yet you're wanting to sing, you're wanting to prophesy. You're wanting, you know, you're not living your marriage the way God says to live a marriage, but yet you want to go teach people how to be married. You know, I was like, what? And the thing is that we can go back and say, wait a minute, fruitless wonder.
That's right.
Fruitless wonder. And you know how to minister to them. Right. You say, you know, set your little prophet self down for a moment. I know you just cast the devil out, but we're going to get the
fruit
devil.
First.
We're going to get the devil off of you first.
Fruit first. Ministry second, right?
Remember that? Fruit first, yeah. Ministry second. I'm not your son. Okay, this is what he says. Let me do it again. If anyone loves me, he will obey. This is Jesus. He will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. There's a lot of people right now that need to be taught. In the church, people who profess to be Christians, they need to be taught how to love God. Because, you know, many people said, love God, give. Some good thing going on. Or, you know, if you help us build the wing on, that's loving God. We'll put a plaque up with your name on it. And these different things. And the truth is that it's actually obeying him. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. That's love for God. And he says, this goes on to say, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Listen, what I just told you and what Jesus told us, that's what God said. That's what God said. So you can listen to religious folk all day long, and there's lots of them. Jesus was talking to them when he was talking about what happened in Sidon and Capernaum and all. But it's the people who you just feel, I think about, you know, some other acquaintances and people that we have that is like, my goodness, you just want to be around them because they got love.
Yeah.
You just want to kind of like get up under their arm and hang around. You're like, well, I'm just hanging around love for a while. I'll be out there in a minute. I'm just going to hang out for a while. You just feel God in their life. You just feel that empowerment. And how to remain fruitful and to remain in God's love, he goes on to tell us in verse 15. He tells us very specifically in 19, he says, chapter 15, verse 19, he says, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus saying, so have I loved you. Now, it's about right this moment, now remain or abide in my love.
That's so important. Remain and abide in my love. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Well, yeah. I wasn't talking about that miracle. I was talking about another miracle.
Oh,
that miracle. The one that you received.
Again.
Don't you remember?
Come on, man.
Help me out.
You were driving across the plains of America in the storms, and we're talking about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And we were talking about this is what happened, Pat.
Obviously, he's just got amnesia.
So, you know, we're talking about the Lord and all these wonderful things that God's doing, and all of a sudden he's in all this traffic. I don't know, probably 8 lanes of traffic, I'm imagining. I can ask him when we finish talking about him. and all of a sudden, he just interrupts our conversation with, "Oh no!" And I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness,
what happened?
Maybe he can't reach the accelerator." I'm thinking, "What's going on? What's going on right here?"
Get another phone book. Quick.
Yeah, go. That pillow thing may have slid out, and so I'm thinking, "This is dangerous in traffic. You know, you got to be able to reach those pedals." And all of a sudden, I didn't know what it was. And then finally, he let me know that he was out of gas.
Oh, are you serious?
He was out of gas, and he was like, it was raining. I can tell it was raining because his wipers were going, boom, boom. His phone picks up so good. I'm like,
everything.
I'm not going to get on a rabbit trail because I'd be lost. But anyway, and it was just over. He's going to be stuck on the side of the road in the middle of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, another state, because he was heading back to his state. And he prayed. I said, "Okay, I'll let you go."
Bye.
Let me know how it goes.
I said, "I'll let you go."
He didn't stay in prayer.
I'm sure, you know, you can work this puppy out. I'll let you go. And, you know, we just said a prayer for him. Dear God, help John.
Those always seem to work.
And next thing you know, I get a phone call, and he gives me a testimony that God just caused the car to begin to run on fumes. It ran on fumes all the way to a gas station.
Oh my God.
And he got gas.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That has never happened for me.
No. Well, John gets extra miracles.
He gets extra credit.
He gets totally extra miracles. You know, you're just too smart. John and I need a lot more miracles than you.
We need a lot of miracles.
Yeah, that's amazing. So back to you, John.
Yeah, actually, it was the car stopped.
You didn't look at the gas gauge.
Rain. Gas. And I got caught up talking to, you know, Mr. You-Know-Who. And so we're having this in-depth conversation. We're having such a great conversation. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to get gas. So
he knew this because his car began to jerk all over the road. Not because he looked in the direction of the gas gauge.
Needle, yeah.
Hiccups. And so it was an experience. It was an experience, to say the least.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and Steve, continuing to talk about, you know, fruitless wonders.
If you obey my commands, because remember he said in Matthew 28, go make disciples of the nations, teach them to obey my commands. And he says right here, he says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
Just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remained in his love. Obedience is how we remain. We hear what he says, but we don't go, well, that was cool. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
We hear what he says, and we actually do what he says. It makes me think of the man who had the vision or the dream, and he's standing before the throne of God, and he's had this lifelong ministry, and And he's talking, you know, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. And God's just looking at him and looking at him and like looking through him and looking around him. And finally, the guy gets really uncomfortable and he says, what? What? After he's cranked off all these lists of accomplishments. And he says, I'm just trying to see how much of my son I see in you.
Mm. Wow.
You see, it's about us decreasing and Jesus increasing. It's about us becoming Christ-like. It's not about Jesus becoming us-like. It's us becoming like him. And when you think about it, so what does love look like? Well, he goes on to tell us in verse 13 what it looks like. Chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians in verse 4, he says, listen, love is patient. Enduring hardship and delay and difficulty without complaining.
Mm.
This is why we say you got to abide. I cannot do that without having a personal relationship with God.
That's right.
And if I start lacking in that area, I got to spend more time with God.
Mm-hmm.
I get really bad to take a sabbatical because I got to get right in my heart with God. But love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. We got Christians that have businesses named envy.
You know, oh, Jesus.
This is like, what? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Think about it. Mm. Like, remember how Chris and Pat were talking about
this? Kind of like that, kind of going back and forth.
It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And love never fails.
Mm.
It never fails. And you think about that, then it's like, I can't do that, God. I mean, I can do it for a little bit, but all of them at the same time. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And he says, you can't do it apart from abiding with me. You can't do it. I'll actually empower you to be patient. I'll empower you and give you grace to be kind when everything inside of you wouldn't be kind. But all of a sudden it's like, I don't know where that kindness came from. Well, I do know where that kindness came from because it didn't come from me.
That's right.
You know, it'll help you not envy, empower you not to boast and not to be proud. And, you know, it's this hanging out with Jesus. He calls us to do something we can't do outside of a personal abiding relationship with him. What? In all of this, yet we're powerless to love unless we abide with love himself. John 15, 6, this is what he says. Jesus says this, if anyone does not abide or remain in me, he is like a branch, just like John the Baptist said, just like Jesus said earlier. He's like a branch that is thrown away and withers.
Oh.
Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Just like Paul talked about in Romans chapter 11, branches being cut off. Fruitless branches, fruitless wonders. John 15, 8 and 16 very specifically talks about this. Says, listen, this is Jesus saying this. This is red letters, gospel. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit.
Much.
Much fruit. And we just found out it's not your prophecy. It's not miracles and signs and wonders. It's how you're treating folk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's in your heart when you're doing it? And he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Showing yourselves to be my disciple. You see, that's our identification card. We got fruit, and that is our identification card. When we're bearing fruit, these fruits of the Spirit are coming out of us towards other people. Somebody said, he's been with God. She's been with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can feel the fruit of the Spirit coming off of it. And then he goes on and says this. He says, listen, you didn't choose me. Jesus is saying this. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go bear fruit. I mean, there it is again.
Mm.
And fruit that lasts, which means there's some fruit that don't last.
Mm.
Fruit is what we do for or to others and adjoin with the motives in our heart of why we did it. Whether it's good or bad determines on why we did it and who we did it for. Good fruit is us being empowered through our abiding relationship with the Lord to obey his commands to us in regards to others because we love him and we love them. An example of bad fruit is doing something for someone for personal gain, recognition, power, but not out of love for God and love for the others or out of obedience to God. So God empowers us. What did he tell us? He told us the axe is already laid at the root. Bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. What did he say to Sidon and Capernaum? He says, listen, Sodom would have repented a long time ago if what's done in you, what has been done in them. It's going to be worse for you on the end because you didn't repent. And it's not just repenting. It's not just saying a prayer. You're going to have to be fruitful. You can't be a fruitful wonder. And there's so many fruitful wonders. It gets really confusing. You got to pause and abide and say, okay, wait a minute. I know I see this being said, but I see this being done. God, help me with this. And you go, okay, I know how to minister to this person. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. It's a sign of the last days. Fruitless wonders. Matthew 21:43, and I'm just closing out right here just so you can just get this thing. You're going to bring a ton in here. But think about it. Jesus says this, and this is what I started with. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whom it falls will be crushed. Listen, if we give our lives to Jesus and his commands, it'll break us to pieces. It'll humble us. But remember this, it's in broken soil. It's in broken up soil. It's in the brokenness of the soil that the harvest comes, that the seed gets sown, that the water comes, and the fruit comes. Fruitless wonders. You know them by their fruit, not by their wonders.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.